the good news station.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
They were confronted by a subject who was armed. The subject fired. There were three members of the Park County Sheriff's Office that were hit. One of those deputies lost his life.
Colorado police are trying to piece together why a man started shooting at deputies while they were serving an eviction notice.
We want to learn why. We want to learn the ins and outs of what happened during that eviction process and the circumstances surrounding that.
Susan Medina from the Colorado Bureau of Investigation says the man killed one Park County deputy and wounded two others before being killed himself. The shooting occurred about 45 miles southwest of Denver. No identities are being released, but Medina says the deputy had been with the office for at least a decade. Presidential candidates of both parties are looking ahead to Super Tuesday. The five Republicans and two Democrats are focused on the 12 primary elections and caucuses on March 1st. This is USA Radio News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its five-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its five-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. With the ongoing popularity of A&E's Doc Dynasty, the much-loved Robertson family has more to share about faith, family, and about love now more than ever before. Alan and his wife Lisa have created the Duck Commander devotional for couples that encourages them to draw closer to each other as they grow closer to God. I spoke to Alan about growing up in a fishbowl for most of his life.
Lisa and I, we've been in ministry for most of our lives. A church is a fishbowl, you know, because then the pastor is kind of the celebrity of his congregation, I mean, for lack of a better word. I mean, that's really what happens, because the church cares about so much, and that's why a lot of times you'll hear people talk about the pastor's kids, you know, because they always have that. So I think that put a lot of pressure on Lisa and I early on in our relationship, because we brought a lot of baggage into it, and yet we didn't really know what to do, and yet we're supposed to have it all figured out, which we didn't, of course.
For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters, with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
This is no different than that.
Clinton makes the remarks at the CNN Town Hall Forum on the same day a federal judge orders aides to Clinton to testify under oath about her use of a private email server when she was Secretary of State. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Amazon is pulling the plug on hoverboards. The online retailer made the decision Tuesday after the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission said all hoverboards were unsafe and posed an unreasonable risk of fire. Target and Toys R Us have also pulled hoverboards from their websites. Hoverboard accessories are still available, though, on Amazon. Hilton Hotels is apologizing after Cavaliers guard Kyrie Irving claimed he was bitten by bed bugs during a stay in Oklahoma City last weekend. The chain issued a statement saying the comfort of their guests is a top priority and they're sorry to hear about Irving's experience. Hilton added that bed bugs can easily be transmitted anywhere and they're vigilant with inspections. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in me every day, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news and shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
The very same one that's talking right now. Because Pastor Tom said, Joe, shut up and start talking and quit talking.
I said no such thing.
I know, but he didn't. I would never say that he said it exactly that way, but he kind of intimated it was time for me to quit talking politics.
I said, you're on. And that's all, folks.
He didn't say I was on the ball. He didn't say that.
It's time to talk.
It's time
to talk. And that you can do.
You know, I want to thank multiple people for listening to WCNO and the people that genuinely complimented me on our show. And poor Pastor Tom, there's no time delay on this show, like most shows do, but when you're in a nonprofit, they don't expect people to say things.
You got to have money to buy time delay.
Right? We're not doing that. And Tom Delay already has been prosecuted.
The time delay for me is I think about it, then I say it.
There you go. So anyway, what happened is I've been doing radio shows now for a good 12, 14, 15 years, and I don't know how long for sure, but a long time. And the one thing I learned is that the ones that put me to sleep is all they do is talk about business. They kind of don't have any fun. So I kind of get a kick out of having fun. And I've had some people call in here saying, Tom, are you sure that man's a Christian? And Pastor Tom says, hey, I had him write it down, sign it, affidavit, looked up. I called the pastor that baptized him. Pastor wouldn't return my phone call.
I think he moved.
Actually, he moved to Texas.
Did he?
Yeah. He retired.
I was speaking to some folks out in Texas today, out in Beaumont.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Mm-hmm. I've not been there. Actually, I've been through Texas. You know, it was a long drive.
Mm. Big state.
Big state, you know. And there's some garden spots in Texas, like Midland.
Mm-hmm.
You been to Midland?
No, I've been to Killeen, Texas, Fort Hood, Fort Sam Houston.
You got to try Midland
sometimes. San Antonio.
Because if you love the smell of oil, you won. Because you will have the smell.
Well, if you own the ground that oil's coming out of, you love the smell.
You really won. Mm-hmm. Right? Anyway, yeah, it was 1982, and Bill Anderson, he finally retired. And I'm guessing in 82 he would have been, let's say, in his 50s.
Mm-hmm.
92, 2002, 2012, that's 35 years. So he's probably pushing 75, 80 years old now. So that's usually about the time you should quit. And, you know, what happens to you guys that are in the ministry, unless you get fried, I'm talking in your head, you know, I'm not talking literally. Most of them don't ever really retire, but you don't have to work 8 to faint, which a lot of men in the clergy, as you and I both know.
Well, what happens to people in the ministry, they get addicted to it.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with it.
And you preach until you can't preach no more.
Well, I remember one time, I told you that story, that when I was going to Calvary Baptist Church over in Clearwater. Now, you born-again Christians that aren't going to like this stuff, turn the radio off right now because you're not going to necessarily agree with it.
Wait a minute. What are you about to say?
Well, what happened was, when I got married to my wife, she said, Joe, I got one thing to ask you, and that is I want to go to church. And I said, okay, but I get to pick the church because I'm not real good at snakes and, you know, people falling on the ground. So
come on.
But that was me.
Okay.
So we went to multiple churches, and we ended up at Calvary Baptist Church in Clearwater, Florida, downtown Clearwater. And probably the most talented man I've ever seen in my whole life was this Bill Anderson. I mean, you know, some people are God-given more talent than 90% of the other people, and a man did.
And the rest of them are like me.
Yes. They're just flat good people without too. No, never mind that part. Anyway, so we're going to church every Sunday and everything's good. Now, this man knows everybody in that church. He knows their name.
He should.
He had 3,000 people a week coming to Sunday school. He knew them all.
Well, he was an exceptional man.
He was an exceptional man. So one Sunday afternoon, I'm talking 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the evening, I get this phone call, maybe 7 o'clock, whatever time it was. It wasn't early, maybe 8 o'clock. And I answered the phone, and I always say, Joe Martek, that's how I've always answered the phone. And he says, Bill Anderson. And I said, Bill Anderson, Bill Anderson. I said, I know two. One's a country singer and one's a preacher. And he says, well, I can't sing. And I said, okay, what's happening, Bill? He says, I'm 2 or 3 blocks away from you and I want to come visit. And I said, okay, you got the address? He says, yep, I got it. And I said, all right, come on over. He says, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I said, okay, hang up the phone. My wife said, who's that? And I said, Bill Anderson. She goes, Pastor Anderson at the church? And I said, yeah. She goes, quick, hurry up. Puts a shirt on, get some clothes on. I'm running around in my boxer shorts in my house. And I'm having a scotch and water, which I've been doing forever. So she says, you got to hide that scotch. You can't have that. And I said, no, no, no. This is my house. This is no. But I did put shorts and a shirt on. Now, you know, but I mean, hey, you know, I'm not totally inept. So he comes in and we're sitting at the dining room table, the kitchen table. And he has teenage kids at the time. So he kind of talked like he's talking to a teenage kid. You know, like he would use the word like a lot because the kids used the word like a lot. And what's happening now? I mean, he was pretty hip for mm-hmm. what would be a relatively old guy. But the fact is he had teenagers. He, you know, was there. So he looks at me and he says, Joe, I've been watching you. He said, pretty soon you're going to walk up there in front of everybody and you're going to openly commit to being saved. That you're going to commit that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And I said, really? He says, yeah, pretty soon. He says, I don't know if it's going to be next week or the week after, but I've been watching. I know you're going to. And I said, okay. I said, Bill, I drink scotch. He says, I'll make you a deal. You don't tell me what to preach, I won't tell you what to drink. And I says, you got a deal. And that was the end of it. 2 weeks later, I walked down there, and he said, okay. And people came and pat me on the back. You know how you do when you're coming mm-hmm. up there and they're thinking you're going to pass out or something. And he says, okay, Joe. He said, next week we're going to dunk you in a tank. And I said, Bill, is that water warm? He says, usually. And I said, what do you mean usually? He says, well, I can't.
Almost never.
And I said, I've seen you in there, but you don't ever get totally dunked. You just go in there up to your waist and then you dip people down in there. And I said, you probably are used to cold water from the groin down, you know. And I said, but hey, I want it. He says, I will do the best I can. Well, it was warm. I mean, it did help. It did help. Getting dipped in a tank in front of 300 or 500 or 1,000 people, however many it was. As long as it's warm, it's not so bad, you know. But and the towel was soft, which was, you know, I didn't ask him about that part, but that was good.
That was okay.
But anyway, that's just the history. And in fact, I had a person ask me today, you know, and because I was arguing the Bible with somebody or something, and she says, Joe, are you a Christian? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm a born-again Christian. She looks at me, she goes, I don't know if you're telling me the truth or not. And I said, yeah, I'm 100% telling you the truth. And I said, not everybody wears it on their sleeve, you know, and jumps up and down. I said, hey, I'm 1,000% convicted in my belief. And I said, you should come meet Pastor Tom, because he's always trying to pick on me, because he knows more than I do. And then it gets even better when I got Vince Rizzino, CPA, here. Because Vince, now that we're doing a radio show, is studying the Bible like crazy, trying to stump
Tom. Yes, he is. Mm-hmm.
Vince,
Where is he? He's not here today.
He's on his way back from New York, or he's landed from New York, or he's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Vince is a CPA, folks.
And it's tax time. He's not supposed to be flying to New York.
Well, that's why he is.
Oh.
Because Vince is originally from New York.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is he's got lots of clients up there. So a couple times a year he goes and touches and says, hey, here I am. And even though in his business you really don't have to physically see people, but a lot of people like to be physically seen to do business with you.
Sure.
So that's it. So let me just tell you about Team Martek. I just had to get that out of the way so you know that I'm not sacrilegious whenever I talk, that I do have fun, and I firmly believe, in fact, it was one of the clients that I got from this show I said, boy, I sure hope Jesus has a sense of humor. And he goes, Joe, you know he does. He has to put up with you.
That's it.
So that solved that problem pretty quick. But what happened is Team Martech as a group started prior to 2004, and we don't know exactly when, but that's the date that we use because we can all remember being together when the hurricanes hit, so that makes life simple. And the concept is very simple. Joe Martech is a financial advisor. I'm also called a stockbroker. I'm also called a securities principal, lots and lots of licenses. As far as I know, I'm licensed to do just about everything. Now, I had my compliance people say, Joe, you can't say you're licensed to do everything. I said, why not? Because we're telling you, you can't say that. But every broker-dealer, and broker-dealer folks are like Merrill Lynch or Dean Witter or Smith Barney. Those are names that we hear. Mine is called Centaurus Financial. They're what's called an independent broker. And there's about 500 of them nationwide. But guys like me, all of us are supposed to have a broker-dealer. And whenever you talk to somebody like me, if you look at the bottom of their card, it'll say securities offered through XYZ broker-dealer. And then it'll say member FINRA and SIPC. FINRA is a regulatory agency. SIPC is the insurance company that protects you, the consumer, for fraud. So just little things. But that's usually on the bottom. Every time you see that in an ad or on the radio, if you listen to the beginning of the show, we had a disclaimer that we have to come up and it tells you. And then that's every time you hear that disclaimer, you'll know you're dealing with a licensed securities representative. Securities means stocks, bonds, mutual funds, stuff like that. Now, when they said I can't do everything, it's because different broker dealers don't necessarily offer 100% of everything that can be sold as a security. Some are specialists in certain areas. That would be like an independent insurance agent, which is Dan Warren, part of our group. Dan does not do mega yachts, like $3 million and $4 million and $2 million, $5 million yachts.
He doesn't insure them.
He doesn't insure those. Even though he's licensed, he doesn't do that because he doesn't have, in his opinion, the expertise to do it. And most of the time, the companies that do that or the agents are one-dimensional. That's all they do. So they become very much of an expert on that one area. And a lot of people don't realize that, but that's what happens. So when we started putting this group together, what I wanted to do was to find a group of local professionals with credibility, experience, integrity. Credibility means they know what they're talking about. Experience means they're not new in business. Integrity means they're honest. Now, you know, every crook in the world, you ask them if they're honest, and they'll tell you yes, right?
That's what they'll tell you.
They'll tell you flat out. They'll say, you know, and how many times have we seen people hide behind religion? They hide behind whatever it is, and they're crooks like there's no tomorrow.
I'm not a crook.
But, yeah, I'm not a crook. You know, I did not have sex with that woman. We had another president that said something about, I didn't do a thing about stealing that stuff at Watergate. You know, there's all kinds of people that don't always tell the truth.
That's right.
Well, the professional I'm looking for was somebody that was not new in business, because new in business oftentimes notes a person that doesn't have experience. And then if they're going to make mistakes, usually they make them when they're young. Sometimes they're tempted to make more mistakes. But you get somebody who's been in business 15, 20, 25, 30 years, and they've built a reputation, they're extremely careful about making sure they do the right thing, and they make sure that their client or prospect or suspect knows they're telling the truth. So when we tie all that together, when I wanted to start doing the radio shows, the first two people that I wanted or needed, one was an attorney. Now, why? Well, of all the things of what you have to have as an attorney, right? Why would you have to do that, Joe? Well, one of the first things I do when I talk to a new suspect or prospect is ask them if they have a will or a trust. And if they don't, I figure it's a bit of my responsibility to stir the pot, to put that piece in order, because if you don't, if Dan was here, he would say the state's got it all figured out for you. They will take your family through a lot of stuff and a lot of time and a lot of expense to settle the estate of the
They'll person. Decide who gets what.
Oh boy.
And how much.
And it doesn't going to come easy. But that's just called the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've done the right preparing, we can avoid a whole bunch of that. So And very often I will spend quite a bit of time with a new prospect or suspect talking about wills and trusts, because even though I don't do them, I have a good working knowledge of them. And in fact, if you've got one, when I talk to a new person, I want to see it and I want to read it. And I can go through it real fast to find out if there's flaws in it. So in fact, let me expound on that just a little bit.
Okay.
So I've got a client, they're retired, very retired, living in a retirement home that has one of those graduated homes. You can go from the retirement, walk in and walk out into assisted living, into the full nursing home. And they're in their 80s. And some years ago, they did a trust. Now, the trust is probably 20-some years old. And the trust was done based on the rules and the laws of 20, 25 years ago when it was done. So they said, Joe, we need to update our trust. So I started to think about it, and I thought, you know, one, they don't own any real estate anymore. They own a vehicle. They have a bank account, and they've got a brokerage account, and they have a couple of annuities. I said, well, I don't think you need to do anything, because, this is my opinion, on your bank account, you can go down to the bank, and you say, I want a TOD agreement. TOD, transfer on death. That means we both die, that money automatically transfers to whoever we write down, doesn't go through the courts.
Now, do they need that if it's a joint account?
Yep. Now, if it's a joint account and they both die at the same time, no kidding. If it's a joint account, one dies, it automatically is the other's, but that TOD agreement should be there with the pecking order. Mm-hmm. You and I are partners, Tom. Both of us are joint on it. I die, it's yours. You die. Then who does it go to? If we don't have that TOD in there, it could be subject to probate.
Uncle Sam will get it.
Well, not necessarily. He won't necessarily get the money, but it might take our family 6 months or a year to get the money because the court system gets involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so the transfer on death agreement, that take care of that. It also takes care of the brokerage agreement. So you have a brokerage account, which is what I do. That transfer on death agreement says, hey, we're dead. Here's who gets the money. It does not go through the courts. Number three, if you have annuity contracts, an IRA, a 401k, or any type of retirement plan, the rule is there are written beneficiaries. They're not subject to probate.
Mm-hmm.
So everything they had, with the exception of stuff, which most of their stuff they didn't even have anymore because they gave most all of it away to relatives because they're down into a small spot now, was not there. So to spend the money on a trust that wouldn't do them any good at all was kind of a waste.
Well, wouldn't there be the chance that maybe the laws that were in effect at that time, that trust may offer them even more protection maybe the laws do today?
Point is, no, not be a good idea. They didn't have any assets in the trust anymore.
Yeah.
In order to make a trust valid, it has to have assets in the name of the trust. Now, a trust, folks, means
it has to be funded.
Funded is the word that is used by attorneys, but that means, let's say you own a kitchen table, and we're going to call that kitchen table a trust. Now, that table, if you haven't noticed, doesn't have a mind, doesn't have a heart, doesn't have a soul, has nothing, but you own that table. And you can do whatever you want with that table. So if you say, okay, table, I'm giving you everything that I've got, my bank account, my house, my real estate, but that table has no mind. It can't make any decisions without you doing them because you own the trust, which you own that table. Then what happens is you die. Well, in that document, it says there is a successor who is next in line. That's the successor trustee. And normally you would name two or three in case one predeceases you, in case one's not competent. They're in a, you know, they could be out to lunch. They could be out to lunch, meaning mentally, in a hospital. Anyway, you name different people with different order.
Might just not want to be bothered with
it. They may not want to do it. Yeah, then they have to pass it on to somebody else. So the whole concept is that the trust works extremely well, especially with real estate. Say you own six or seven rental properties and you don't want them to go through probate. Well, then bottom line is you put them in that trust and the trust is the owner. And a trust has all the rights and authorities of a person, meaning as long as it's got money in it, it's alive. And it has to file a tax return every year. You ever notice how that's what that works? So as long as there's money or value in that trust, it stays alive. When the last dollar is taken out of that trust, it's dead. There is nothing left. There's no trust anymore. Anyway, so the trust works extremely well for people with big estates, or multiple pieces of real estate, or let's say you've got five or six antique cars worth $100,000 each or something, or you've got a $3 million boat.
Now, does every kind of trust have to file a tax return?
No. If you're in what's called a revocable trust, which is also called a living trust, right? That means while you're alive, it's alive. Revocable means while you're alive, you're the trustee, you're in charge, and they're going to use your tax ID number, which is your social security number, for that trust. But the day you die, a new tax ID number is given to that trust, which is like a social security number, same number of digits, and it now is like a person. Prior to your death, you are the trustee. It's a living trust. You are the person with your ID. The day you die, no longer, you call up on the phone, which I've done quite often for clients, and they just give you a new tax ID number, and bam, that trust is a person. And it has to file a tax return every year and do just exactly like the rest of us. Okay, so the trust can work extremely well, yeah?
Well, there's some people out there that might have questions about trust.
Maybe they should call.
Maybe they would like to call today and ask a question. I had a fellow this week called, said, "You mean I can call in and ask a question?" And I told him yes, but he might be wondering how he's going to call in.
Why don't we
if he doesn't give a phone number?
Should we give him the number, Tom?
I think we should give the phone number.
You know, you're getting kind of really old. Do you remember the number?
I think so. you can call us toll-free here today at 888-221-8990. That's toll-free from anywhere, 888-221-8990. And our friend here, Joe, will answer any questions you might have.
Let me tell you, class, write that number down. Keep it, because you don't have to talk to me on the radio. You can call Pastor Tom or Connie anytime. They'll take your name and number and say, "Hey, Joe, call these people up." They don't want to talk to you on the radio. They think you might embarrass them, hurt their feelings or something. Because is that possible, Tom?
All things are possible.
So you don't have to talk to us on the radio, but if you do, I appreciate it very much if you do call us. 888-221-8990. One more time, 888. It's toll-free. You dial 1-888. Of course, if you're on a cell phone, you don't have to dial the 1. Did you know that? You just dial the 888-221-8990. Don't have to dial a 1. Isn't that okay? I got to teach you sometime. You know, see? And I don't even charge you for this. Anyway, so there becomes, we have to look at this thing. Now, again, I'm not an expert on this. I'm not the attorney. I can answer questions because I go through them all the time. But I'm a stockbroker, financial advisor. I usually talk about money. But an attorney was a critical part, and the reason Greg Fasula, Greg happens to be one of the more user-friendly attorneys because he's not arrogant, he's not pretentious, he's a good listener. He's a nice guy. He's probably the only attorney I know I'd like to have as a next-door neighbor because he is just a flat, nice person. And that was critical to me. Yeah, he has to know his stuff and what he's talking about, but to have somebody that's user-friendly, because some attorneys, have you ever noticed this, Tom, they're a bit pretentious, bit arrogant?
Well, I don't know about that, but I know they can be intimidating.
That too, which flows with pretentious and arrogant. But
if you say so.
I say so. I wouldn't put words in your mouth ever, but I do have a caller here, and I'm going to take that call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. My name is Melissa Reed, and I recently married, but my husband has a home, and the home is not in his name. He's financing it. How would I go about having my name added to the home?
Now, let me ask you a question again. You say the home is not in his name, or it is in his name?
Not yet. It's not yet. No, it's not in his name.
But it's going to be put into his name?
Yes.
Okay. Now, very simply this. When that home is put in his name, there will be a deed recorded at the county courthouse, wherever that house is. You and he would go down there together. And he would add your name to that deed, and you would sign a document, he would sign a document, and it's just about that simple.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yep. And if he tries to give you a hard time, dump him.
I will. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Anytime. You have a wonderful. And I'm kidding about dumping. No, not really. But the point is, if he's married and he says, I'm going
to
put
give him a stern talking to.
Give him a stern talking to. But it's really a simple thing when you have a deed. I can.
Now, isn't it important to have that deed recorded correctly as
husband and wife
here, on there? Because
that's a good subject. See, what we have taught Pastor Tom here, you'd be surprised how much stuff he's learned. He hadn't learned a thing.
I've learned a little bit. And that makes me dangerous.
He hasn't learned a thing about the Bible from me, but I have learned a bit from him, but I have taught him lots of other stuff. Like this one, here's what happens. I don't know what it is in every state, but in Florida, if you own a house together as husband and wife, and it says on your title, HW, spouse, something that denotes that you are married, if the husband dies, it's automatically the wife's house, or if the wife dies, it's automatically the husband's house. But let's say you own this house together and it doesn't say husband and wife.
And the word or is there. If it says like Tom or Kathy.
Well, not necessarily.
Or Bill or Mary.
It doesn't even have to have the word or. Because if it's got two names on there, it's assumed that 50% goes to each one of you. You own half and I own half.
And so if Joe dies and it doesn't say husband and wife, Joe's estate could half that house could end up in probate.
And the odds are good it will. So what happens is literally the state of Florida says, okay, fine. Let's say Tom and I buy a house together. It doesn't need to be a husband and wife. And even though he's kind of good looking, he's not my type. Actually, he's too old for me. But anyway, point because I'm kidding. Anyway, the point is this. We can buy a piece of real estate, Tom and I, as partners, and a lot of people do in business. And you should put on the deed something that lets them know who you are, like joint tenants with rights of survivorship, date JTWROS. What's that mean? I die, it's Tom's. Tom dies, it's mine. JTWROS, joint tenants with rights of survivorship. Or if we don't want that, if I want to die and leave it to my family, we put nothing on there, and I die. Tom says, oh, boy, Joe's gone, my house. Then my kids come and say, half of that house is ours. So, Tom, why don't you go ahead and sell that and pay us off? And Tom goes, say what?
I don't want to sell the house.
Well, then fine. We'll just take your rear end to court and we will decide.
Or I might have the option of coming up with the difference of value and paying.
That's my point. That's what they just said. Give us the money and let us go. So what happens is half of that house would be subject to an estate. The person that owned the other half. But if you title it husband and wife, it doesn't go through that. It automatically reverts to one or the other. So that's important. So when she was listening on that thing, and reason Tom brought that up, let's assume that he does get that house, and then they go down to the courthouse, make sure that it let them know that you're married. They may even want a marriage license. So you take a marriage license with you. You know, let them know that you've done it. Very often, you know, and I don't know how the laws work exactly, but it's the county clerk's responsibility to make sure they're following the law as it's written in the state of Florida today. So your job is just to ask questions and make sure you're doing the right thing. 1-888-221-8990. Now, I had a case, and I think we might have talked about it on the radio. Client of mine, elderly couple. They had a house and they had a trust. Mm-hmm. Now, they were very private. They wouldn't let me see the trust, which was a mistake. One of them died, the husband. You know why husbands die before their wives, Tom?
You're going to tell me.
Because we can.
Okay.
Anyway, so okay, folks, this is humor now. So she calls up and says, Joe, my husband died and the house is not in the trust, and the attorney that did the trust said, when one of you dies, come on back down, and I'll put you in the trust, put the house in the trust. So Greg was here for Sula, and Dan was on, and we were talking on the show, and Dan and I looked at each other and said, Greg, why would an attorney do that? And Greg thinks for a second or five and says, you know, I don't really know. And Dan and I said, we do. He's going to charge him more money because he could have done it right the first time, but now he's going to have him come back in and do it properly now.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her, the client, I said, look, forget the attorney. I'll take you down to the courthouse, and we'll put the house in the trust, and you can buy me lunch. So instead of spending a couple hundred or whatever dollars the attorney was going to charge her, and who knows what this thief was going to do, because anybody that did what he did, I didn't like him to start with. I said, it's going to cost you $10. You know, that's be my share of lunch. We're going to go to a classy restaurant. No McDonald's here, unless I ate a lot of McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she says, great. So we go down to the courthouse, and they look it up, and they said, well, we can put your half of the house in the trust, but we can't put the other half because it doesn't say husband and wife on the deed. It just had both of your names. And she said, but we were married for 50 years. And they said, we don't care. It has to say husband and wife on the deed. So we had to go back into probate, have the house go through probate. And in Florida, I don't know exactly the percentage, but a wife is automatically entitled to 30, 40, 25, whatever the percentage is of that house. Then the kids were, they get the rest of it. Now, thank goodness the kids were their children. They weren't stepchildren, because that could have been a big problem. They could have said, no, sell the house and give us our money. But the kids had to sign off and let mom keep her house.
So the kids are entitled to a greater percentage than the wife?
Well, the three kids were entitled to a percentage each.
Yeah. Okay.
We call it dower rights. I used to call it that. They have a new word for it now, and I can't remember it. But dower basically means spousal benefit, spousal right. And it's like 30% that the dower would get no matter what. And then the balance would go to the estate. Well, if there's nobody else in the estate except the wife, she'd probably get it all.
Now, this is where a will would come in.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Handy.
And or relatives. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it depends who's the blood relatives, and now it goes through probate, and then they have to find the blood relatives.
But if there was a will written,
yeah,
and the husband said, when I die, I want all of my portion to go to my wife.
Yep. It's still subject to probate necessarily, but he could have avoided that by putting it on the deed.
Mm-hmm.
No probate. Once you go through even a will can be subject to probate if it's a probatable asset.
Which that would be.
Well, yes and no. If you're homestead, quote, homestead, mm-hmm. that's not a probatable asset. But if it's a house that's not a homestead.
An investment property,
second home, third home, whatever it might be, that would not be a homestead, then it might be subject to probate, or probably would be subject to probate. So anyway, there's all kinds of little nuances here. Anybody's got any questions about this stuff? I'm a bit dangerous with this stuff because I go through it all the time. But when it comes right down to the end of it, what do you have to do? You have to go see an attorney to get it drafted properly. You don't listen to me except to stir the pot and make you think to do what's right, just like this lady called in about getting added to the deed on a house with her husband. Hey, go down to the court.
Good question.
Yeah, it isn't something you do every
and
day.
And it's an important thing to get it done right.
Amen. 1-888-221-8990. So Greg was an important part of the beginning, having somebody that I could trust, that I felt comfortable with, that I know that is a nice person, a good person. The next one was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. And boy, Dan, he was probably more critical at the time because if those of you that have lived in Florida for a long time, the homeowner's insurance especially was a disaster for a long time with Hurricane Andrew. And then after Hurricane Andrew, a lot of companies non-renewed people, or they jacked the premiums up 2 and 3 times. So I had to have what's called an independent insurance agent that didn't work for one insurance company, but worked for the client. And then I had to have what I called a premier insurance agent, independent, that had been in business a long, long time and had lots of companies, lots of companies. Now, Dan's like 37 years in business right here in Port St. Lucie. And in fact, I get a kick out of it. A week or two ago, my car insurance renewed. I'll tell you that story in a minute. But we'll
Let's take this call.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Good afternoon, Mr. Martek.
Good afternoon.
I would like to ask you a few questions.
I'm listening.
My husband and I, we were living up north and we got this house together.
Okay.
He passed away and I went and changed the deed in my name. And everything is going well, but he have kids. Listening to you now, I'm kind of concerned, you know. So, and I have other things I'd like to go over.
Well, stay still with that one subject right there. if when you got the house with your husband, if it says on the deed husband and wife or HW or spouse, then it's automatically yours. It doesn't go through the courts and it doesn't go through to any other children. If it does not say that you're married on there, his children have a legal right to a portion of half of that house. Okay? So what you have to do is look at the deed and see how it is phrased.
She said she already changed it into her name.
Did you do that?
Yes, I did.
Then it wasn't. Then it was a husband and wife. Now it's in your name only, and you're done.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Now you got another question?
Yes, we have. So I'm doing that after here. So I'll call you.
I'll tell you what. You gave Connie your name and number, did you not?
Yes.
Okay, what I'll do is I will give you a call tomorrow if that's okay, and then we can talk and I can help you any way I can.
Okay, it would be, I'm not here in the day.
What time is
I'll be here like after 2.
After 2 o'clock? You told Connie that, and if you didn't, I'm going to tell her right now to write it down. Because
you might
remember this. We're not so young anymore, and the memory sometimes is.
I know.
You have a wonderful day. Thank you for calling, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
You too.
Bye.
Yes, have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. You too. 1-888-221-8990. So talking about Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. So what happens is, my car insurance just renewed, and Dan's office called me and said, Joe, we went through 45 companies that we represent, and you've got to stay with the one you're with, and please, Joe, no more tickets and no more accidents.
He didn't sing that song to you.
Which one was that?
Stay with the one you love?
No, it isn't the one I love. It's the one I'm paying a lot of money to. But point is, I just had a couple of bad years, which I did things that I'm not supposed to do, like get tickets and a couple of accidents. So when you add up 2 tickets, 2 accidents, nobody likes
you. You still driving?
Yeah, well, temporarily. How much time we got left? You're looking at your cards.
Well, no, we've got about 15 minutes or so.
A little less than 15 minutes. Tom's got these cheat cards, and what he doesn't want to tell me that I got 5 minutes left, so he waves it at me. So in case he thinks I can read 5, does it say minutes on those cards? Is it just, it does.
Is either that or minutes.
1-888-221-8990. So Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, does not work for an insurance company. He works for the insured. And inside of his umbrella of companies, and they're not all car and homeowners, but there's about 90 companies that Dan has. And in my humble opinion, there is no finer, more credible, higher integrity insurance agency on the Treasure Coast, period.
I just recently had to renew my homeowner's insurance.
Yep.
And he did a review and thought that he could save me some money. After a review and when mitigation reports and everything came in, he said, stay right where you're at.
There you go.
And so, he's willing to help people and give them good advice.
What he says. He said, every renewal, before it renews, give me a call and let me just take a look because things change. And what Dan's office does with the power of a computer, they will basically recheck every renewal that comes along, especially if your company went up in price, to see if they can do something better for you. And Dan's office called me and said, 45 companies, Joe, you got the best there is. Stay right where you are. No more tickets and accidents, please, please, please. Otherwise, we're going to have to dump your butt.
Well, sometimes if you change companies after getting a ticket, the rate's going to go up.
No kidding. Point is that having tickets and accidents is a no-no. They don't like that.
That's right.
The next member of the group, Ms. Victoria Lloyd Remax of Stewart, hardest working realtor there is. She's only been in business since 1978. You couldn't make this girl lie if you tried. She knows her stuff. She says she's going to do something. She does it. You can take it to the bank. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, works hand in glove with Victoria. Anybody that wants to know anything about a mortgage, don't walk into the bank. You talk to Mike on the phone. It might take you 2-3 weeks to find out from the bank, but Mike can tell you usually in 15 minutes. and it's not going to cost you any more and oftentimes less than if you go into a bank.
A very helpful individual to know.
No, he has done more good things for people, and I can't tell you. There's many stories, but probably one of those that is most important between Mike and Dan, they have saved quite a few people buying houses because they were able to get them qualified for the mortgage, which mm-hmm. they may not have if they'd have gone to the wrong agent. So Mike's just a superb guy. Vince Rizzino, CPA, critical person and part of the group. A CPA is a tax man. The tax code's only like 70,000 pages. They keep talking about simplifying it, and that's a lie. If I don't forgive that word lie, it's a lie, because it's simply never been done, and it keeps getting worse and worse. The key thing is this. Vince is another stellar person. He's also a forensic CPA, which means the court recognizes him as an expert witness. And one of the better people you're ever going to meet. So I'm ecstatic to know that our group, for the last 10, 12, 14, 15 years, whatever it is, has been able to help a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And every once in a while, I get somebody that I really genuinely helped. None of us are going to charge you money to talk to you on the phone. Mm. You want to ask a question, anything we can do. And oftentimes, I'll show people how to do things that I maybe could do, but they can go do themselves. So why do you want to pay me or somebody if you can just do it yourself? It's like going down to the
court. That's my mantra, that if I can do it myself, I'm not paying somebody else to do it.
And you shouldn't. A lot of times, the word ignorance doesn't mean you're not smart. It just means you haven't learned it. It's just like this lady getting on the deed. How do I do that? Go down to the courthouse with your husband.
Well, apparently she knew how to do that.
Well, now she knows.
Yep.
No, she knew how to get him off of it because he died. But there was another one that she said her husband's going to get a house.
Oh, that's a different lady.
And she wants to get on there. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And if he says, okay, honey, you're on, don't listen to anything else.
Check it out.
You just go get it figured out. 888-221-8990. So the group very simply is here to either save you money or make you money, which is my job, which leads me into where I stand today in the market.
Now, where is the market? I mean, every time I go home in the evening, I see the market's up today. People are making money. Down tomorrow, they're losing money.
It's all
over the place.
Well, last year, 12, 13, 14 months ago, I said that the 2015, in my opinion, was going to be a flat year, meaning ain't going to go up, ain't going to go down. It's just pretty much going to do nothing. And that's what happened last year. Nothing. This year, I predicted the same thing, that by the end of this year, it will be a flat year. Nothing's really going to happen, positive or negative. Well, in the meantime, it took off straight down at the beginning of this year, and it's still hovering down about 10%. 5, 8, 15%, depending on which index you're looking at.
Hasn't come back.
Well, it goes back and forth, up and down, but there's many, many mitigators, what there always are. We're talking about the Arabs fighting, and we're talking about oil.
The oil went down, 4% yesterday?
Well, oil goes down, up and down, but right now it's below cost. So what that does is a ripple effect that is affecting the market, meaning there's been over 500,000 people worldwide laid off in the oil industry. Many companies are shut down. There's been over 50 companies go bankrupt.
And there's still a glut of gas on the market.
There's still too much. So what happens, the supply and demand situation will solve itself, taking time, which will make you unhappy when you go to the gas pump because you'll pay more money. But anybody that owns oil stocks or works in the oil industry is going to be happy because they keep a job, or their stock now becomes worth money. But that is adversely affecting the market today, even though it helps the consumer because we're paying $1.60, $1.70, $1.80 for a gallon of gas rather than paying $4. But if we were paying $4, there's a lot more people working.
Well, is that translate the savings on oil and energy and fuel oil and all of that? Has that translated into a boost in the economic growth? Or
the answer is yes and no. Unemployment rate is down below 5%, but the way the government measures the unemployment rate is not the way you and I.
Well, they don't count about half the people out there that's unemployed.
That's also the real unemployment rate is technically over 10%, but in the meantime, that's better than it was last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. So we're getting closer and closer to what is called full employment. So the answer is yes. If I was spending $100 a month for gasoline going back and forth to work or shopping or whatever, and now I'm spending $50, that's $50 more I've got to spend, which either I can save it or I can put it into the economy. So technically, it does help the economy.
You know, for a long time, I go up to the pump and I go inside and said, I need this much gas. The other day, I went in and I had to walk back inside for 45 cents change.
You gave him too much money.
I said, it's not hardly worth walking back in here for 45 well, cents. But, point, you know, the price is that gas has come down.
Yeah.
You would think that that might mean that people are saving more, investing more.
Technically, yes, but the
you
ripple,
don't see that,
the
do
ripple
you?
Effect. Well, supposedly we have, but you know, the way the government measures stuff, we all know we can trust the government.
They got a crooked stick.
Yeah, boy, that's exactly my point. That level is not level. So the key is it does have a positive effect on the average consumer. You know, I was listening to CNBC today, and a fellow on the radio was saying they own lots of different restaurants, different levels from fast food to expensive. He said all of them are doing well. All of them. That means people are spending money. And you know what?
But the guy that's making the stove is hurting.
Well, the guy that makes the stove or cooking?
Cooking.
There's a big difference. Anyway, what I'm leading up to is, today, when I talk to most clients, I say, look, here's what I recommend right now. The bank is paying 0.5%, 0.25%, 1%. They're paying next to nothing. But I have what's called debt instruments. Debt instruments means you're not in common stock. Common stock means you're an owner of the company. If you're an owner of the company, the value of your shares goes up and down with the value of the company or the economy or all kinds of outside influences. But a debt means like a note. Like if I buy a car and I sign a car note, I have to make payments, interest and principal, for 5 years, 6 years, 4 years, or whatever.
So if you went back a few years when you had those big companies like Enron, all the tech companies, when they went upside down, a lot of people lost a whole lot of money because they were part owners of that company.
They lost all their money. So what happens is, who gets paid first? Well, the attorneys, we know that. After the attorneys, they pay the debts of the company. So they liquidate the assets and they pay the debtors. Then there's a level of indebtedness. Who gets paid first, second, third, fourth? Who gets the last dollar? The owners of the company. Well, you don't go bankrupt if you've got any money. Usually that they are a little bit short.
So let's talk about a company like that. If I were a stockholder of
Enron. Pick one, yeah.
Or if Enron had issued a debt instrument,
right,
and I had a debt instrument with that company, and what happened to Enron happened, as a stockholder, I would have lost the money. But as a
debtor
that they owed me money on a loan,
the odds are better that
you'd
get paid.
The odds were better I'd get paid.
Real simple. So what happens is these debt instruments pay an interest rate, just like at the bank, but they're paying 5 and 6%. And they pay interest every 3 months, and that's all the good news. Bad news is they have the ability to call these. Call these means they can give you your money back. And what happens, the ones that I'm using have call dates that allow them to do this that are out 2 and 4 years from now. Mm-hmm. So 2, 3, 4 years from now, they have the ability to give your money back. Will they? Not necessarily, because it really depends on the cost of money 2, 3, or 4 years from now. But they have the ability to do that. In the meantime, they're 100% liquid today. You can buy it today, sell it tomorrow. Everything I do is tradable.
Is there a minimum required to
do this?
I mean,
no, let's face it, folks. I don't want to see $500 because it's but usually I look at most people, and it really depends on the person. I've done $2,000 and $3,000, but I look at people because they're going to save money over a period of time. They're young, they're just starting to save, so they're going to contribute more money over a period of time. But normally it's $10,000 would be my normal minimum, but not always. I look at an individual person, if I can help them get started, you know, let it be.
But there's no limit as far as the
but it's
company for utility company has,
no, they, you know, you're buying shares and the shares cost $25 a piece in this debt instrument, so you can buy one share that pays 6% interest.
Now you say share, but it's not a stock,
not a common stock. These are just shares in the debt instrument.
Okay.
You know, so this is like becoming a partner. You know, there's X number of partners that are allowed, and each partner has X number of shares, and that's in that partnership with say to
now pay. Is there a cap on the amount of that debt instrument?
No, it depends on supply and demand, how much we've got. I imagine if I tried to find $5 million worth of when he won, it might be a bit of a problem because it might take me a week or so because we got to have people sell them. Now, a lot of big pension funds own these things, and they buy $5 and $10 million at a time. But these are already issued. These were not new
issues. They're not going to let them go if they're getting a good rate.
Well, but on the other hand, pension funds have rules that say at a certain date, sometimes they have to rebalance and get rid of stuff. Makes no difference. This is, don't ask questions. This is like being Catholic, you know, just don't ask questions. You just are one. And that's an in-house joke, folks. Anyway, we now have 3 minutes left. Pastor Tom, flash
and if you'd like to call, you do have time to get in a one call or two, maybe. Toll free, 888-221-8990. We're going to be here about another 3 minutes. So if you have a question, don't delay.
And understand this. The debt instrument is 100% liquid, paying 5 and 6% interest. You can get it today, sell it tomorrow. But it's a really nice thing for people that are looking for not long-term money, but short-term money. Because the odds are real good that these will be called unless down the road interest rates are not favorable for these companies, and then they wouldn't call them. But I would, you know, when I tell everybody, I said, just kind of assume that they're going to call it in 3 or 4 years, whatever the date might be. But anybody that wants to get information on that, you just call the radio station, talk to Pastor Tom, talk to Connie. They'll take your name and number, and I'll call you and give you whatever you need to do to see if I can help you with that.
And these are called debt instruments.
Yep.
Now, who issues those?
Well, big utilities, some of the biggest companies you've ever heard of, some of the biggest companies in America, household names.
Private companies?
Well, there's a call. Utilities usually are private companies, right? Let me just take this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Joe, thank you very much for taking my call. My name is Mark, and I've heard you speak about these debt instruments before. And I'd like to know how I could get involved in one.
Well, you left your name and number with Connie, did you just now?
Yes, sir, I did.
What I'm going to do is this. I'm going to give you a call tomorrow. We'll talk about it on the phone, and then we'll see how we can do that. In fact, I just had, funny you should say that, I had a client that just came up from Boynton Beach yesterday that listened to the radio show, and we just move some retirement money of theirs into this very same instrument because they did not want to be in stock. They wanted to be in something that was a bit more secure. And these things are my very favorite thing in the world right now until the world comes back into focus, if it ever does. But paying 5 or 6% is a good thing.
Yes, sir, it is. That's exactly what I was thinking of doing. I only left Connie my first name. It is Mark. Is that enough, or do I need to call her back?
No, that's fine. Mark is good. I'll call you tomorrow, and hey, as long as you don't change your name, we're both on the same page, that's good.
No, sir, that's not going to happen overnight.
Thank you, Mark. I just thought,
thank you very much, Joe.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
All right, Joe, we're just about out of time.
1-888-221-8990. Thank you, callers. Thanks, Mark. We'll call you tomorrow. 888-221-8990. Call the station anytime. They'll take your name and number, and we will get back with you. Until next week, thank you.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-229-0114. We'll be right back.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City.